Blog Talk Radio.
Think of me, think about us since the intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. And you sit around and you kick the blase flea. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is trying to give you what you need. And he wanna know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell a chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
Yeah, you're now tuned in to GEI Radio, Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host, Gigi. What's going on?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. Happy Friday to you. How you feeling?
To keep it real, man, this pollen is kicking my butt, dog.
Okay.
I'm so sick of pollen.
It does that.
Huh. But other than that, man, everything is beautiful.
Okay. Well, I mean, if pollen is your worst situation, man, you're doing all right then, brother. You're doing better than a lot of folks. If all you're dealing with is some pollen. But, yeah, it is that season, man. It's that spring going into the May situation. The pollen count is up. You know, the weather's kind of back and forth type thing, man. But, hey, we here. And we got a chance, man, to get into it. So I'm thankful, man. I want to officially welcome everybody to Necessary Convo, formerly known as Freaky Fridays. You know, I kind of miss Freaky Fridays a little bit, man. I think that there has to be a way that we can do a short section or sector of Freaky Friday on our Necessary Combos, man. We might have to just, you know, just dedicate about a good 15 minutes, man.
I'm saying like
a good 15 minutes just to get it in.
For those of the listeners that may not know, today is our 1 year anniversary of doing this show. You know what I'm saying? So big shout out to you, GG. You know what I'm saying?
Salute to you.
A year ago, but a little over a year ago, I asked GG, I pitched the idea to him and he was down with it. And we've been consistent ever since, man, rocking every week. You know, the first season we did 30 episodes. This is the second season. We on number 13. So we're just going to keep rocking it out. We appreciate everybody rocking with us from day one. So what I did, GG, I reached out to some of the past guests, right? And I told them, just, you know, call in and we're gonna do some follow-ups. We're going to see because that was the Freaky Friday side.
Good. Yeah, for sure.
That was the
for sure.
That was the Freaky Friday side. So that should be fun. That should be fun. Lost my train of thought. So, you know, I don't remember numbers. So if you were on the show before, once we get this show rolling and stuff, you know what I mean, just hit one and we're gonna get you on and we're gonna you know, just do some follow up, see where you at. Over the past year, see if anything changed in your life, and you know,
yeah,
we're gonna go from there.
Yeah, that makes it interesting to really see, and actually, to be honest, man, we're gonna compare and contrast what the fuck you were saying months and months ago, and to what the hell you saying now to see if that shit matches up, because you know you got to think about it, man. You know, people are always gonna respond to where they're at in the moment. Right, so if the dude is like, man, you know what, man, all chicks is whack right now. You know, he probably ain't in no damn relationship. Let him get into a good, solid relationship and a thriving situation, then he's not going to have that same tone. And it could be a week later, a month later, year later. So, you know, people will always respond where they're at in that moment. So that's why it makes it so interesting. You know, when some people feel some type of way, or I don't want nobody, or nobody wants me, and all that other bullshit, and the next thing you know, they booed up. They booed up, getting engaged, and got plans, and all that kind of stuff, man. So it's always interesting to see the progress, man, and just to see if folks are evolving, because, you know, that's the biggest thing, Tom. I mean, it's about evolution, man. It's about personal growth and development and evolution, you know, not having the same thought process as you did before, because you should have learned some shit by now, you know, and applied it to your life. So some things you got to maneuver a little differently to get different results than what you were getting. But, you know, I'm not going to preach and all that. But I do want to say that a big shout out to GEI Network. Now, see, I don't know if you guys, I got to break this thing down here real quick. And again, it's a little bit after 9 o'clock. We actually started on damn time for a moment, but yeah, every Friday, guys, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Necessary Combo, myself, GGI After Dark, and of course, GEI Tone. I really have to make sure that I give you guys the respect that's due. So the GEI Network was just, you know, they have the announcement, and everything is in full throttle. So there's shows on there, there's videos, there's skits and stuff like that, man. And you guys have to understand, man, this is a black-owned enterprise. Damn it, like, man. Some shit, you just got to call what it is, man. It's not a little company. It's not a little mom-and-pop situation. It's a black-owned enterprise. And And a lot of people want to associate enterprises with money. And what you have to understand, mm-hmm. enterprise is a structure. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This is business shit right I'm talking right now. Enterprise is structure, right? It's the conglomerate of multiple businesses, services, products, all that shit wrapped in one, right? So that means it's multifaceted. So you may have something about comedy over here. You may have a genre of music over here, different genres of music altogether. Then you may have something a little more in the entertainment side. It's a beautiful thing, man. So I've had the pleasure of knowing Tone and his team, you know, for some time. And you know, when I met him and I met his crew, and he don't have the same crew that when I met him. Is that true or false? You ain't got the same people?
Maybe one or two changes.
But you don't have the exact same people, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, so there's a core group. There's a core group that they've been rocking and they've been consistent with. I ain't talking about that. But I'm just saying, you guys, when you're getting to the next level, everybody can't go there with you. Is that okay to say that tonight, man? When you're going
truth.
To the next level. Now, understand, when you're struggling, there's plenty of people there. When you're struggling, you need something, they're around. They need something, they're around. But when your ass start elevating, taking things to the next level, meaning you can't do some of the old stuff because the old stuff isn't effective anymore. So you have to implement some new things. And those new things that you're implementing isn't shit that you know. That means you have to elevate yourself to get to the shit that you ain't had yet. Right, so as you're growing personally and professionally, there's certain people and certain things you gotta leave behind you, and that's not even a bad thing. You just have to do it. It's good for them, and it's even better for you. But it's necessary. So I'm saying all that to say, the GEI, the whole squad, the whole conglomerate, it was an enterprise already. Right, so you build enterprises, right? You build them, right? And so as you build them and you put all the right pieces in there or you develop the pieces, then that's when you get to a point where shit start matching up, right? So you start having the platform that matches the craft that you've mastered, and things match up. So, you know, even all the projects he was doing and things like that, they have taken things to such a an enormous level that you have to have a network, you have to have a large platform to get that content out, right? So people get caught up in social media, right? People get caught up in social media. Well, how many social media friends do you have? How many likes do you get on your posts? How many comments? Damn that. People, you could pay. You could pay to get followers. You could pay to get likes and comments. You could pay to do that, right? Now, that is for show. That's for show, and that's for show, like both of those. So when you're focusing on your foundation and you're focusing on your structure, that stuff will come. And when it comes, it's gonna be strong, right? It's going to be the shit that continues to build and build. It doesn't matter how many followers you have now. It doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? Continue to put your content together. Continue to stick to what you're doing, and man, you know, you guys are just a great example, man, of starting from the bottom, right? Starting from the bottom, and the bottom doesn't necessarily. I'm not saying that the bottom is like a financial status or even a social status. Starting from the bottom meaning your foundation.
Yeah.
People think starting from the bottom is when you ain't got no fucking money. Yeah, anybody can have no money at any amount of time. Some people, the pandemic showed that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The pandemic showed that. So when I say starting from the bottom, I'm talking about when you at the bottom, that means you have to build your ass up. You have to build it up. So once you're building up, your ass can't go back down. You have to keep rising.
Keep building.
Salute you guys and salute to because I watch it, and I've been proud to see a lot of friends, family members elevate, man, getting the businesses starting, working their gifts and talents, man, and you know, when you do that, it's not a job, you know what I mean? It's an opportunity to be better and contribute. It's fun.
That's
so
it.
I know my black ass has made a lot of changes that I've had to make and tighten some things up. And so, you know, for me, man, it was about just polishing some things and being who I am, not looking at what other people are doing and what their platforms are doing and what they've accomplished and things like that, but being, you know, as they say, the cliche, unapologetically myself. And so with that, man, that has afforded me, you know, a lot of opportunities.
Yes, I appreciate that. And, you know, a salute to you too, because again, you know, vice versa. We watch you grow into the brand that you are today. You know what I'm saying? So when we met, I mean, you know, we both was doing what we was doing, but I mean, from the time we met to now, I mean, we elevated so much, you know, and grew so much that, you know, people wouldn't believe. And it's just staying focused. I tell people to stay focused. Focus on your craft. Like, don't get caught up in the social media. Don't get caught up in the people only showing their wins. You know, like, that's it. Social media is about just showing your wins. That's it. I mean, you really think about it. Every post is a win. Like, it's a win. You would think that people really winning, like, every single day. They're never going to show, you know, the gas bill or the light bill or the, you know, the rent 3 months behind. They're not going to show that stuff. They're only going to show the good stuff. So don't get caught up in social media. Go at your own pace. And like he said, get you a nice little team of people. It don't have to be family. Like, my core guys that I ride with outside of my wife, I've met them over the internet, and for the last 10 years, you know, some 7 years, we've grown to be family. So you know, you're not gonna always be able to do it with your family or your friends. You know, you just gotta meet people that's like minded, and work, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. So. So here we are, guys. This Friday is almost a freestyle Friday, right? So we're going to bring on some past guests, some faithful callers that's been rocking with us, and we're going to do some freestyle, man, because we're going to talk about a few things that was a lot of buzz, and you got to understand a lot of our content prior to Necessary Convo segment was Freaky Friday. Now, so we're very cognizant and clear that motherfuckers was calling in here to talk about some freaky shit, right? That's what the buzz was. And it's okay, because again, you have two guys, and this just we gonna give you what you want, right? We're gonna give you what you want. We're gonna answer your questions. We're gonna ask your ass some questions. We're gonna have some topics, and is you is or is you ain't ready to have, you know, the conversations, because we are, you know, and we've had some guests that let it all out. And we've had some guests that, you know, they shied away from some shit. But at the same time, you know, they I think all of our guests was really good sports. And I can't think of anybody that wasn't a good sport about it.
You know, the one thing I can truly, truly say, the past year, like, even every caller, every guest, everybody was just cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't no – well, GG, I can't say one. that turned out to be my favorite.
Yeah, you're talking about somebody came from my head, right?
Oh, my God. They was mad at you, GG. That was my favorite show, though, because that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes you know you got to say things that – to get people attention, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, we sit on here and we talk and we talk, and sometimes they don't press one. But that time, they was listening, so they caught it, and they was ready for you. So that was one of my favorite favorite shows. I can't even remember what you said, but that was like my favorite show, though, because the ladies was definitely ready for you.
Indeed.
So okay, before we get deep into the show, for all the callers, if you want to, you know, tell somebody to call in, they can dial 516-387-1268. That's 516-387-1268. Or if they want to listen in online, they can go to GEI Radio, click the link, Necessary Convo, and click the link on IG. If you're on and you want to talk to myself or Gigi, or you got a question, press 1. We're going to get you on. And that's it, man. So thinking about Gigi, right, I just went back all the old notes, and I just grabbed, like, five of those things that I wanted to re-ask, you know, a year later. Like, some of the things I wanted to ask a year later. So,
that's good.
And like I said, some of this is from, you know, the Freaky Friday. And some of this is, you know, from Necessary Convo. So we kind of mixing them together. So the callers, don't be alarmed. Like he said before, this show was previously called Freaky Friday.
Indeed.
So I'm going to start off with something light, Gigi. We're going to start off with something light so that, you know, we can get the callers in and, you know, we could talk about it because maybe it changed.
Right.
So turn-ons and turn-offs.
Now, is this sexual or is this just
it could be,
you know.
It could be Freaky
could be
Friday
whatever, right?
And it could be Necessary Convo, whichever, you know, whatever direction you take it in.
Turn on and turn offs, or is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that's a really good question because, you know, for me, my freakometer is so low. It's just low, man. My freakometer is probably 0.001. And so, you know, I told myself that I would be a little bit more exploratory, right? But shit, you know, I still ain't got there, man. So my turn-ons are a woman that has a nice walk, right? Has a sexy walk, like she's floating. You know what I'm saying? And you know, just the way she sways her head, she takes her time, you know, the cheeks, you know, the bouncing of the cheeks, man. You know, like, you ain't got to have a big fat ass, but if you know how to work your cheeks, you know what I mean? Like the ups and downs, like right now, visually, it's like I have, you know, a slinky in my hand. So just imagine my left hand going up, my right hand going down. That's how the cheeks are doing, right? So I think a nice, sexy walk is a turn-on, man, and that kind of leads into other stuff for me. And then I would say a turn-off is weird noises during sex, like just weird, squeaky-ass noises or grunts. It's like, come on, man. I want it to be reinforced that I'm with a female, right? Very feminine female. So, you know, I like high pitches and soft, you know, shit in my ear. But the grunts and sound like you're snorting and, you know, your voice. We both got a vibrato in this motherfucker, right? We both have a vibrato, so. That's not good for me, man. That's a turnoff. Matter of fact, that'll damn near have me getting soft on her ass, man. Like, yo, just don't say shit. All right, just a couple of moans, but don't open your mouth. And so I would say weird noises be a turnoff, man.
What about you,
man? Turnoffs and turn on.
I like a little attitude, like. I like.
Okay, like feisty.
You know. Yeah. I like, because that let me know you can handle yourself. You know what I'm saying? I don't like no, I don't like gritty girls like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a little attitude. So I know, you know, if you out and about, I know you can handle yourself. I ain't really got to worry about it like that.
That's good, man. That's good.
Yeah. That's
really good.
Turn off.
Yeah, turn off.
I don't know, man. Let me see. Turn off. Turn off for me would be you can't smell. Right? I mean, nobody should smell, but a woman should, like, never, ever smell. Like, they got, like, whole aisles and stuff, so that's definitely a turn off. No smells.
That makes sense. We hold women to a high regard when it comes to their smell, and they know that. Right, they know that, man. They check. I mean, I guess they would do, you know, a cooch check, you know, or whatever. But I think, you know, I mean, women go through so much of putting on, you know, using certain body washes and then moisturizers and then, you know, all this other stuff that they use to keep their body right and smelling good, Bath and Body Works and all that. So the ladies know that, man. The ladies know we have high expectations. Like, women say that they like a dude that smells good, right? But at the same time, they also like a manly man that smells like a motherfucking man, right? So as long as his ass ain't stank or musty or smelling fruitier than a motherfucker, women can appreciate a manly man. Now, of course, there's colognes and shit like that that they love and will get their attention and shit like that, but we hold the ladies hold themselves to a high regard when it comes to the body aroma, right? And I understand that sometimes when ladies, you know, there's some things you can't help, right? there's some things that you can't help, but for the most part, like as far as washing your ass and what you put on your body, on your body parts, yeah, man. We need that sweet smelling savor dancing in our ears, man. Our ears, our nose, our eyes almost taste it sometimes. Those are good, man. Those are good. But let me go back to your first one, because I have to acknowledge that, because I feel the same way. And ladies, I really want you to hear this out. So Tone said that a woman with an attitude, like a slight attitude, right, almost sometimes she can even be sarcastic with it, right, when she has that personality, right, that she can handle herself. And that's important, because you got a lot of chicks that be trying to be too friendly, and it doesn't get the right message across to dudes, because they're like, well, she smiled. And she said, hey, how are you? Like, some shit, you know, some dudes are just going to take, they're just going to take it to the next level when it shouldn't be. So you have to be very firm with your shit. Like he was saying, with an attitude. Like, hey, how are you? Like, motherfucker, you ain't got to smile and make him feel like he got a chance. You know what I mean? It could be some simple shit to where he's like, well, damn, okay, fine. And that's okay. That's okay for a dude to walk away and just be like, well, damn, you know, what was that about? But, hey, she did speak. So I think that's important, man. We got to know that the lady can handle herself and then, you know, and handle certain kind of guys, because we talked about this before, Tom. Ladies meet all kind of dudes or approached every single day by all kinds of dudes.
Yeah.
All kinds. You got the ignorant motherfuckers out there. You got the blunt, dumbass motherfuckers out there. You got the wannabe suave. You got the cornballs. You know, you got the suits. You got the suit guys. You got the dope boys out there. You got the, you know what I'm saying? You got a variety. Dope boys still exist, right, Tom? I mean, they haven't, in the pandemic, they haven't stopped slinging dope, right?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Hey, again, you know, this is unscripted. Thank God we're not censored yet. So, you know, we say whatever the hell we want to say, but yeah, so ladies run into all kind of different dudes, man. So we need y'all. We need y'all to be able to handle yourselves at all times.
You know what, I want to ask the ladies. This is my question to the callers, the ladies that's on. You know, how do you choose, you know, with so many guys, like at least, let's just, you know, the average woman, let's just say at least three guys talk to her a day. If she, you know, from
okay.
maybe
just
she catches, you know, she catches the train to work, you know what I mean, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
so she might get a guy to talk to her there.
Yeah.
At work, get a guy. Coming back, you know, going to lunch, get a guy. So how do you turn it? Because that would be, like, super annoying to me. Like, all day, every day, what's up? Oh, hey, sweetheart, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
How do you pick without being agitated? How do you pick, like, okay, even though this is the 37th guy, I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because it seemed like that would be, like, so agitating all day, every day. You're just hearing, like you said, from the dope boys, from the cornballs, from the fitness guys, from this guy, from that guy, from
yeah.
this guy. So it's
guy.
Like, how do you pick?
Yeah, I'd be open to listening to that, man, because as guys, you know, for me, man, if I make a decision to reach out to a woman, I'm almost on some assessing her to see if she kind of has an attitude, if she's on the phone texting and smiling with a motherfucker, or she on the phone already talking to him already, you know, talking about some random shit. Or, like, I pay attention to what's going on with that woman for a little while before I approach her. And I don't know if that's bad. I don't know if it's been good, but it's just, that's just, you know, who I am, man. I pay attention. So, and I don't think anything would still stop me. It would just give me an idea of, okay, well, shit, you know, she just got off the phone and she mad, something happened, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not going to stop me from speaking to her. But I do kind of take all that stuff in consideration, which is absolutely none of my business, what the fuck she got going on. But I just, you know, try to kind of curtail my approach. Like, hey, you know, how you doing today? You know, it's been a crazy day for me. I don't know about you. You know, just some random shit, man. And it usually works, though, Tom. It usually works, right? I mean, the worst thing can happen is we have a short conversation. Hey, nice meeting you. I got to go. Like, that's the worst part in my head. The best would be, hey, can we exchange some information and, you know, take this further and see if we can actually get along with each other for longer than the time frame we've been talking. Like, that's my mindset when it comes to approaching women or just, you know, dialogue with women. Like, it doesn't even have to be so serious. So that's why I hate to hear when guys get belligerent and start acting ignorant and doing dumb shit because a woman doesn't want to engage with this dude. So,
okay.
Yeah. So come on.
So Gigi, let me ask you
this.
Before I get to this caller, because we got a caller, because it's been forever for me. So when y'all exchange numbers, do you wait to call or do you call her that night or the next day or do you wait 2 or 3 days and then call her?
That's a good one, man. And so I don't know when the last time I've met a woman, you know, just on the outside, out and about, and then we went through this process. But I will text. I like to tell the woman that I'm a texter, you know what I'm saying? Because if I'm driving, if I'm busy, if I'm doing something on my platform, I'm letting you know now that text is going to be the best way to get to me, right? And so I kind of get a feel, and she gets a feel of, okay, I see he likes to text. But it's not that I like the text only. It's like if you want a quick reply, if you want to be able to get to me, then it's going to have to be a text because I may have some stuff going on and I can't pick up. Or if I pick up, it's going to be, hey, I got to call you right back anyway. So I don't know which one you're going to like. But if you let me text you, if we go back and forth with the text, I can explain to you exactly what's going on. Hey, right now I got this going on right now. I can hit you up a little bit later. Or we can text. I'm available to text. You know, so I'll text, answer your question. I'll text right away, man, because especially if we had a good vibe, shit, you know, we kind of want to keep, we want to stay engaged. You know, you don't want no time lapse because now motherfuckers are like, oh, okay, so he went home to his wife. You know, he got my number. He got my number. He went home to his wife and shit. Now he can't talk, right? I mean, that's the shit they go through anyway, right? So it's kind of like they just put you in that category if you don't kind of separate yourself of how you operate. So, yeah, man, me immediately I'll go into a text situation and I'll kind of learn, you know, women usually will let you know, hey, you know what, I don't text a whole lot. I'm more of a hands-on type person. And, you know, then you kind of find out if they like video chat, you know, if they got an iPhone, then they'll, you know, FaceTime. Start learning their ways to communicate, man. But I still make it very clear that your best bet is gonna be texting with me. I'm not avoiding your phone calls. I'm not going to not call you, but I can give you more information. I can give you more conversation just because of the things that I do until we can get to that phone conversation. So, hell yeah, man. I try to get that shit out the way, man. I let them know. Something like this, something
else. I got a good question, too, but I'm going to get the call on. I'm going to start with this caller. I'm going to ask he or she this question. 2748 GEI Radio, you on?
Hey, and happy anniversary.
Hey.
Thank you.
It's like
candy.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I was just calling in to holler at y'all tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Tone's already locked and loaded with these questions. You hear that? He's locked and loaded already.
Already?
Already. Man. We already. Just, we just been obliged to brother.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
man. Go
so
for
Nana,
it, man. We got
so
Katie
Nana,
here. Let's
so,
go.
Yeah, I'm about to ask her. So it's for both of y'all. And it's cool because, you know, it's a question for men and women. Have you ever met somebody or met somebody in the club or whatever, or it could have been in a bar or anywhere else, and then the next time you seen them, they wasn't, then you, you know, the previous time.
Ladies first on this one because, you know, women got stories, so I already know.
Yes, I met a guy in a bar, and like when I met him, you know, he had the hat on, nice beard. He was like fine as hell the first night I met him. So we exchanged numbers or whatever. And at first, I kind of canceled him out because I'm the type of person that if a guy gives me his number, I'm not really interested in that. I feel like if someone is interested, they should ask me for my information and call me or whatever. So,
that's
but this guy, like I said, he was smelling good, looking good, just everything checked off. And he did call me, like, he called me like a week later. And he was like, I was just expecting you to call me. And I'm like, the fuck, what? But it was a good conversation. So we agreed to, like, meet up, like, two nights later for at, like, just the same place. And it was just like, I thought it was a different person. So I don't know whether it was my alcohol or like he didn't have like the hat on. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, what? You're the guy I met?
Completely
like,
turned off.
Ago? completely turned off. But, you know, we had a good night. But, yeah, he kind of got X'd off. Just, it just wasn't the same. It threw my whole vibe off.
What was wrong with the brother this time? Okay.
You know,
so
I think it was the hat.
He didn't have a hat on. So what? Did he have a bald head? He had a nappy head? He had locks? What was going on?
He did have a bald head. And, you know, his swag wasn't there that next time I saw him. And, like, I don't know why it just wasn't there, but it was a completely changed from what I saw the first time. And like I said, I thought, I was like, well, was it his brother? But I knew I had been drinking, so that could have enhanced his looks. I don't know. But like I said, next time it just didn't work for me. And you know, I'm not all about looks, but it was just that mixed in with all the other stuff. I was just like, I'm good.
Yeah. Now you said it's not about looks, but sometimes someone's looks grabs your attention, right? And there was something about their
look.
That's true. Whether it was, you know, something unique about them, or whether it was super sexy, or whether they just, you know, had a quirky look, but it was cute, you know. And so you kind of look forward to it. And if you don't get what stayed with you, then you kind of like, well, shit, now I gotta figure out why I like you again.
That's true. And I guess what I mean, like, if we would have had a good connection, I would have been more prone to entertain him more, even though, you know, it was different from the first time. But, you know, the connection just wasn't there altogether.
That's interesting. So, Tone, and I'm going to just jump, I'm going to piggyback right off. One thing about me that is a challenge for me is I don't drink alcohol. So I can never say I was tipsy. I can never say that I was sloppy drunk. I can never say that I didn't remember. I mean, I can, but I can't validate it, right? So, you know, so I don't drink alcohol. So when I meet a person, it's like all my senses are intact. So, but I've met a few women, right, that look different. For different reasons, though. Maybe she was more conservative the second time. And the first time I was like, well, damn, I remember she had a nice little shape on her. Or, you know, she was plump up top. Or she had some nice hips. And she may have, you know, had the right outfit. You know, and so then the next time, you know, she may be a little bit more relaxed or whatever, and, you know, she in a tracksuit or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I meet her, she's in heels and a dress, little pencil skirt or mini girl or whatever, and then the next time I meet her, Candy, she in a damn tracksuit. And so, you know, and nothing's wrong with tracksuits. I'm just saying I met you in this type of environment. And so you have to wing me, and you have to graduate me into your downplay outfits. Like don't do that right off the top. You know what I mean? That's not fair to me. And so I think that has happened a few times, and I don't know why they get comfortable thinking that, you know, that it's okay, because if you saw me in a pair of jeans, a blazer, a fedora hat, some boots. When you see me again, I'm going to be something similar to that. Number one, I'm cognizant of how you saw me the first time, whether it be at an event or something like that. And so until we cool, or, you know, I don't put your legs over my shoulder, you're not going to catch me in the gray sweats. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to catch me in the gray sweats.
Sexy, though.
Right, but even with that, you hey, but you know what, for us guys, it's a crapshoot. Y'all may like that, y'all may not. Y'all be like, okay, so he ain't did his laundry this week? I mean, why he got the gray sweats on? You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how y'all are gonna take that. So we have to be a little bit more on top of our shit. And y'all looking at our shoes too? So you can't wear no gray sweats and then, you know, you got wrinkles. You got wrinkles at the toe. You got the crease. You know, you ladies are tough. Y'all are tough.
But
you
I agree, Gigi.
So.
I agree with you. I think, like, if we meet and we both dressed up, you know, nice, and then we talk and we agree to meet again, like, you got to come nice to the second meeting. You can't be, like, we ain't cool. Like you said, Gigi, we ain't that cool for you to just come any kind of way yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to come like you came last time, because that's what I seen.
Okay.
But I got a funny story. So I don't have a dating story like that, but I do have a business story like that. So, you know, we do the magazines or whatever. So I seen this model picture on the internet. I'm like, man, I want her to come in so we can shoot her for the magazine. She ends up, you know, coming through or whatever so we can shoot her. We had a power shoot. For those that don't know, that's when a lot of models come and a lot of photographers come. So she was in there for about a good 30 minutes before I even knew that that was the girl that I asked to come. She was a totally different. I'm talking about a totally different person, like a whole nother person. I'm like, wow. That's when I learned the power of editing. How you know they edit these pictures to make people look different. Yeah, man. Like,
okay.
They can smooth their skin. They can, like, make their breasts bigger, make their butt bigger. You know, any marks and stuff,
wow.
They can take them out. So I was like,
right.
Holy crap. So now when I look at people's pictures, I'd be like, I don't believe it until I see you in person.
Everybody catfishing.
Yeah, everybody.
So
that's just how I take it.
So my question to you guys is, like, what makes it, like, what about chicks that are just, let's see, how can I put this question? Like, what if it's just, like, cosmetic changes? Like, she might have on a different wig, or eyelashes may not be there the next time you see her. Does that kind of stuff make a difference? Because I'm the type of chick, like, I'm natural, I'm cute, natural, whatever. But
okay.
I also have, like, my wig game is just strong. Like, you would swear I'm in, like,
okay.
witness protection sometimes. So does that make a difference to you guys?
That was excellent, man.
For me, I'd rather for a woman not to wear makeup or wigs. Like, I mean, I understand that's a woman thing, but I just rather for you just look natural. I'm not big on makeup and stuff. I like
right.
Lipstick. Lipstick is cool, but, like, I don't like to make a whole bunch of makeup all the time. So if I met you and you was natural and then you come with makeup on, I'm walking away doing that date. I'm out. I'd rather for you just come back.
Exactly.
Just come back the way that I met you. Like, and then we could work on, like, you can show me that other stuff down the line. Just whatever attracted us together, we need to come back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change up nothing. I mean, you know, if you change the color of your wig or, I mean, the color of your hair, whatever, whatever, I get that. But, like, don't do nothing drastic to where, though, I'm like, is this the same person I met? Was that, like you said, Ken, was that drunk? You know, like, did I drink
yeah.
too much? So
right.
that's my thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say something like that. You know, I've gotten being in this industry and having a platform, you know, I understand that, you know, ladies, they want to have at a minimum some things that would cover their blemishes. And I'm not saying that blemishes, like, they got a bunch of stuff going on, but maybe something that they feel like is a blemish. And as men, we don't even notice, right? So I understand that there's going to be some, like, I don't know the terminology. You know, you may have a condenser or a foundation. I don't know what the fuck all that stuff is. I get all that. I get all of it. I would say, but my biggest issue is them damn Snuffleupagus eyelashes. The eyelashes still get me, man. Like, so my thing is, eyelashes be so ridiculous and big that I forget to look at her real eyelashes to remember what those look like. Because, you know, you think, like, okay, well, why does she want the Daffy Duck joints? Like, why does it need to be so Daisy Duck, right? Daisy Duck joints. Why does it need to be so exaggerated? I'm not really sure, because when she didn't have them on, she looked amazing. You know, so, you know, just the transformations, man. When the face be completely different than the body, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that, when it's exaggerated. For me, man, that is a turn off. But a woman that, you know, doesn't wear a lot of makeup, I'm okay with that. And if a woman wears makeup, I'm okay with that too. So really, I think it's just the transformations is the get me, like, accentuate what you have. You know what I mean? I think that that's the biggest thing. Accentuate what you already have and are blessed with versus, you know, trying to create a whole different animated character. So that's kind of how that works with me.
You got me over here looking at my eyelashes.
You got the Daisy Ducks.
No, I think I'm good.
You can answer this, Candy, or you can, like, not answer this. But you said you wear a lot of wigs. Do you have, like, long hair?
Mm-hmm. My hair is really long, and I'm not. Sometimes I just want a different look with a different outfit. Some days I want a really curly style. Some days I want to be long. Some days I want to be short.
Right.
I wear them a lot in the bedroom sometimes if I want to be different people. You know, like, different reasons, but it's not, like, there's no insecurities there. It just, to me, it just enhances whatever look I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed, like, even with my, like, sisters and homegirls, like, they have, like, the longest, prettiest hair, but then put on a wig. I'd be like, I thought the wig was because your hair busted. That's what I thought it picked the women wear wigs for. But if your hair looked good, why would you cover it up with a wig? Like, I don't know.
And then, like, sometimes, especially in, like, the wintertime, sometimes I do it just to, like, protect my hair because it's harsh when you're natural. So, like, sometimes I'll do protective styles. And it's funny, sometimes I will just wear my hair and they're like, okay, what's her name today? I'm like, oh, no, this is me. Because, I mean, most women name their wigs. So, like, all of my wigs have different names and, you know, different personalities come with different wigs.
This is good. So how many wigs would you say that you own roughly? How do you store them?
I have a wall in my closet.
Okay.
I have at least 40 to 50.
Wow.
Easily. At least 40, probably closer to 50, maybe even more.
Now, that's impressive.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, they're all for different reasons.
So what did you spend more money on, wigs or heels?
Oh, see, that's not fair.
it's a pretty good damn question, though.
Well, I'm really short, so I would say I spend more on heels, but I don't know. My wigs are definitely a close second. I would say my wigs, my heels, and my nails are like the top three.
Yeah. That definitely sounds like priority.
That's kind of the biggest issue I'm having now, though, because, like, with my fiance, we're kind of slowly trying to merge things together, and he's just like, I can't take it. He's like, I almost shot one of your wigs the other night because I thought it was a person. And I'm like, bruh, you're doing too much. Calm down. So I have to definitely create some space for my wigs that's, like, out of his little area.
Yeah, no, that is we definitely gonna keep tabs on this whole engagement to the marriage thing. You might want to consider making a documentary out of it, you know, and it could be, you know, it could be on your own phone. You know, you can vlog your own situation, Candy, and, you know, at least up to the wedding, man. Consider it, man. At least maybe 1 week prior to the wedding, just do a little documentary, man. I think that'd be something you guys would appreciate. Because you guys only going to get married for the first time one time. So,
that's
you know, 7 days
idea.
Till marriage, man. Hey, man, listen to me. I know what I know.
I'm telling you. I might have to look into
7 days
that,
to marriage,
nobody
man.
Told me. Nobody told me the struggle was going to be like this. I thought I was just going to pay some cake, cut a check, and everything would be great. But
yeah,
not that easy.
Yeah, you guys But hey, you know what? That's a part of the building process. So, you know, you guys get to put that in your relationship portfolio. So I think that's a cool thing, you know. And if you're gonna go through it, I mean, you only want to go through it with one person. And you only want to go through it one time. So, yeah.
Okay, so
now,
I have a question
now,
regarding that.
Are you a sister, right? You're a black sister.
I am. Mhm.
And your fiance is a brother?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay, you pause. I didn't know if you were slimy or some shit like that. But okay, so cool.
So I have a question for you guys, though, because y'all are both been married, or else don't, I know you're married now. Have y'all ever did a prenup?
Yeah, I'm not married. Let's be very clear.
I know. Gigi is not married, y'all.
Okay. All right. But go ahead.
Well, how do y'all feel about prenups?
I say no.
Ooh. Tom, why? I thought you was going to be team. Yes.
No, my situation is a little different. So it go back a little longer than other people's relationships. So plus me and my wife building what we're building together. And I mean, I just feel like even if we wasn't, if I make $100 million and she was with me for some of that, then she deserves some of it. You know what I'm saying?
But like, does she deserve half?
If that's what they say she get, I can't. You know, that's what they determine.
Oh,
they're
gonna
cool
say
with
it. You ain't got to worry about.
Oh,
it.
Yeah,
they
gonna, and it depends on why you getting divorced. It may be more than that.
I'm cool with it. My only thing is this: I just feel like that goes both ways. Like, cause you know, I'm glad. You know, that's a good question you asked because, I hope I'm getting this right. I think this is the relationship. I think it's Mary J. Blige's husband is asking for half, and everybody calling him like a bum ass dude, and he just getting bashed. And I'm like, well, what's the difference? The same way, you know, she was the breadwinner and he was holding everything else down. So if it was the shoe was on the other foot, she would get half. So I think
no, but you're not spending half on the side chick.
I mean, wherever
that's
the money goes,
cool.
I can't control that. I can't control whatever what they do with the money. It's just if you was there helping me in the process, then definitely I think you should get half or 60% or whatever it is because you was there.
Okay.
And that can't be no 1 year
well,
thing.
I mean,
like, we've married for 1 year. You're not getting half of my money.
Wait a minute. How do you got stipulation now?
Wait. Hold on. Yeah.
No,
like,
what just happened?
No, because I said if you like, you got to be a part of the process. Like, you can't like if I get married for if we've married for 12 of 1 year. Like that's you wasn't a part of no process.
Okay, but the
process
that
is
way.
That's your wife.
Right.
The process is that is your wife. She was with you. She, win, lose, or draw. You know what I mean? So if you're up, why shouldn't she be up? Because if you down, she damn sure gonna be down.
Fact. So you're right.
Thus,
you know what? I take that back. Give her half.
See, I have an issue with half. That's not. I'm not with the whole half thing because I feel like half and what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, that's the commitment you make when you're married. But if you're not fulfilling that commitment, because a marital commitment is to death do you part. So, you know, if one of us is 6 feet under, of course, whatever the other person has is yours, whatever. But if you're not fulfilling that commitment, I'm not in agreement with giving half of anything. And I feel like that goes both ways. I don't expect half. But I think, you know, I'm not going to leave empty-handed either. But I don't know. It's just, it's such an issue surrounding a prenup, and I don't understand why.
Let me add this. I know we got other callers and stuff. But for those of you that don't know, Candy has been rocking with us since day one. She's been rocking with us since day one. She wasn't engaged when we first started over a year ago. So, you know, the progression and even some of the things that you said, Ken, in the beginning of you not even really considering marriage, right? You was like, nah, that's not something I really see. I can see myself being single. Is that true or not?
That's true.
So there's been some growth and some evolution of Candy. And I think that's really cool because, you know, obviously you're at a different place and there's other things to take in consideration. So I think that's really cool. And also another congratulations. Tony, we got to get a clap machine in here, man. We got to get one of those applause machines in here. One thing that I do want to say real briefly, is when you talk about prenups or even when you talk about marriage and divorce, a lot of us don't go into marriage thinking that there's going to be a divorce. A lot of us go into it, we're one and done. Like Candy said, to death do us part. I'm all in and things like that. And so I think if you think of it as a business, in a business merger, then obviously there's certain things that you want in place so that the business that you've already built, whether it be your last 30 years or 40 years of your blood, sweat, and tears, you don't want that compromised within 6 months or within 1 year or 2 years later, everything that you've built, whether it be 10,000 or whether it be 10 million. You don't want that compromised over something that just happened in a fraction of the time. And so I think what happens is some of us sometimes we go into it more of a business, and it's not personal, right? Because we not only want to protect our assets that may be allocated to our kids or family members and stuff like that, but we don't want your shit fucked up either. And then you feel in some type of way that, you know, you were taken advantage of. So a lot of times it's, you know, sometimes you look at what you got or potentially have, and that's what happens in the court system. So, like, when Candy said that, you know, well, you're saying half, not, and maybe it may be 70%. You know what I mean? If an attorney, which they can, provide some type of evidence that this is the lifestyle that they went from, not that they had, but what they actually went from, and this is what it'll take for them to sustain it, right, meaning they're not working. Right. So they're not going to work. So they add inflation, the cost of living, all that kind of shit. And so I think, you know, and this is legal stuff. So it's not trifling. Right. People are just actually using the law in their favor and getting as much as they possibly can, because you can walk away. Like you can both come to an agreement, mutual agreement. And look, you leave with your shit. I leave with my shit. But at the same time, you know, you got influences that's going to say, hey, you could have been doing this during the marriage. And they may not have done this or accomplished this in the marriage. So you've got all those technicalities to where if you could just put it together in the beginning and hopefully not have to exercise it, at least it's in play. And so that's my take on it. I would rather have something in play and never have to use it versus, okay, oh, my God, this is happening, and depending on how she's feeling, depending on how I'm feeling, and attorneys and folks in your ear, shit can get real ugly and drawn out. So I'd rather avoid all of that and just, you know, hey, work on the marriage and, you know, prayerfully, you know, we Mary J. Blige, you know, boy, because I'd be asking for that bread too, because he's not going to get a Mary J. Blige ever fucking again. Come on.
See, that's crazy. I'm telling you now, if you are moving a side chick in my house, I'm burning that shit down. Like, no, none of us.
I don't know the details of that. Now, see, if this dude has a side chick, and I'm not saying that, you know, people do what they're going to do, right? But if he's doing just some dumb shit like that, then, I mean, I understand the fight. I understand the fight and the back and forth. But at the end of the day, man, that it's going to be whatever you get that judge to do.
Yeah.
Whether we like
you to
it
come
or not.
Talk to my dude. Help him be on board with this prenup situation because it's not working out right now.
Well, you know what's interesting
no
when it comes to that?
It's definitely going to be a prenup. That's not even negotiable. No.
It's going to have
no
to
marriage,
be a prenup.
Yeah, no. The prenup is necessary.
You know. Some folks, you know, some folks, that's not what they had. That's not the history in their family. You know, their parents ain't did it. Their granddaddy and them ain't do it. Old pop ain't do it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And so that's just something that, but at the same time, it's a new day and age, and people are getting broken off, man, that would never have gotten broken off before in their lifetime. They're cashing out. Yeah, I cash out too. I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, man. If my lady was in the industry or a multimillionaire, hey, I'm cashing out.
I just
but,
look
you
at
know, my goal
you
is
see
to,
why this prenup is happening?
My goal is to settle out of court, though. I don't want to go to court with it. I just hate it. Just give me
my
$24 million.
What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do with $900 million? So if I had to give 450 of it up, like, to my wife. Who? Right? That's my peace of mind, like, because if we at the point where we get in a divorce, then things are not right. Either I messed up or she messed up. So if she messed up, I want her to be as far away as possible. So if this $450 million is going to keep you away from me,
but she
then,
can be far away with $250 million, and that's still a good life, like.
I mean, you know, well, without, again,
I
can control
yeah.
that. That's cool. But if the judge say give her 450, take her to 450. I don't ever want to see this lady again. I'm cool with that.
Uh-oh, did I lose it?
Okay. Even with that being said, though, so you have to think, though. So if you're sitting on 900 M's, then there are things that are working for you to make that money, right? But you may have to have a certain amount of leverage cash. So if you lose 50%, because that's not necessarily disposable income, you know what I mean? You may be in a situation where you got a hedge fund to where you have to have $400,000 in that hedge fund. So think about that. So you go from 900 to 450. Or, you know, or 500, but that 400 still has to stay in the hedge fund, and your operating costs and your businesses and your companies and things like that have to function. And so these are all the things that the attorneys have to say that, hey, if this happens, then shit, ain't nobody going to have no money in 6 months. Well, and nobody's going to have any money in a year. So I think that, you know, a lot of times – on certain levels, you know, us that doesn't necessarily have that type of money, look at it a little bit different versus somebody that, you know,
that's living
200,000 to us, maybe 200 mil to them.
you know what I mean, on how it could affect their life or their lifestyle or their businesses or things like that. But also the potential income is what I think makes people become a little bit more greedy, the potential. Because when that person walks away and you only got a fraction, if they got that money, like you said, man, you can make up some ground once you get rid of that dead weight.
yeah, that's it. Real quick, I just want to say big shout out to Candy. Her phone dropped.
Yeah, Candy.
And it's after 10, so she won't be able to get back on. So, you know, big shout out, you know, for like I said, she's been rocking. Like I said, she's been rocking with us for the whole time. But we got another caller, GG. 4879.
All right, man, let's do it.
GEI Radio, you on?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hello. How are you? I'm good.
Great.
I just wanted to chime in on this prenup conversation because I lived it, and I lived it on the outside looking in. So I watched my parents go through it. So I'm just going to put all their stuff out there because they're not listening, and I won't get in trouble. But the theory that they'll just get the money and walk away is flawed, because the way that divorces work, as long as there is alimony, that alimony can always be reconsidered. So she can come back to court every 3 years, depending on the state, and ask for that money to be increased, doubled, based on potential earning. So alimony in some states, and in my mom's case, it's until she marries, remarries, or dies that my father has to pay. So
she don't want to remarry? She don't want to marry nobody?
Nah. Well, she gets a month, she ain't got to work if she – no. It's not worth it. Financially, it's not worth it. She would have – my mother would have somebody live with her, be in a committed relationship, but what she makes from her job is her play money. Oh, yeah, she'll have a stepman all day long, but she'll never
remarry. So let me ask you this. Is it the person that has to pay for the, you know, the breakup, is it the person that cheated or the person, like, let's just say nobody cheated.
It
nobody
doesn't matter.
Anything. Oh, it don't matter. Oh, man.
No, it's whoever makes the most money. So whomever has the most money, it could be irreconcilable differences. We just ain't getting along. Nobody cheated. Nobody. There was no abuse. There was no nothing. It's a bit, and so Gigi had a very good point. It's a business. When you get married, it is essentially two businesses joining, emerging. Two businesses are merging.
Mm-hmm.
You got your stuff, I got my stuff. We are merging. If there is nothing in writing, on paper, notarized, that, you know, that says you bring this to the table, I'm bringing this to the table, in the event that we dissolve this partnership, this is how assets will be divided. If that is not there, whomever has the most money will be paying alimony. And it's truthfully up to that party, the two individuals, of how long that alimony is going to go. In my parents' case, my mom said, nah, we're not putting a time limit on it, because she understood and her attorney, as Gigi said, her attorney was like, yo, he has the potential to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So don't cut yourself short by saying he's going to pay alimony for 20 years and he's going to pay alimony for 25 years. Their decree, and most decrees, unless you actually have something in writing, most decrees will say until the other party remarries or dies, you are responsible for alimony. And those assets are not always liquid. So it could be houses. It could be ownership of businesses. It could be hedge fund. It could be stock. If you have a publicly traded company, she gets half of it. So immediately you become you are no longer the controlling party of your company because you no longer have shares of stock. So,
that's a good point.
A wonderful theory, but I'm like, I've watched my parents fight about this for years, and they're no more minor children. My mom works. My mom makes great money. My mom's a VP of a very prominent company, and my dad's a doctor.
She wants that lifetime payout.
She wants that lifetime payout. And as I have to remind him, it's not fair because my dad's thing is it's not fair. She works. She doesn't need the money. And he's absolutely right. She doesn't need the money. She wants the money.
You know,
and every year they go back to court.
Tone, you know what? I think what's also interesting is a lot of people look at prenup as being something negative, but I believe it just lays things out so that, you know, when it comes down to the court system, you know, you're not dealing with that back and forth additional monies. Because even if you agree to 50%, you could put that in the prenup. That way there's no confusion, right? You don't have to have a judge making decisions on your behalf. It's written out. So, you know, and obviously this show ain't about pro prenup or not. Everybody do what's best for your family. But I do think that there is a stigmatism about just being prepared when it comes to merging lives, right? Because in essence, there could be lives tied up. Right. So you got to think about people that have children. They get into a marriage and then, you know, the assets are taken away, this and that. That affects the kids. It affects their lives. It affects their kids' kids and how they will plan into run businesses that their mom or dad put together, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So I think it's fair to at least take a look at it versus, well, my mama and daddy ain't do it or grandmimi and them didn't do it. Well, look, hey, grandmimi and them, they ain't even get the 40 acres and a mule they were supposed to get, damn it. You know what I mean? So I bet if they had an opportunity, they would do shit differently as well, especially when you also talk about life insurance policies and shit like that. But excellent point.
Yeah, because that's true. Because true, you're right. Because when you get married, your children are no longer your next of kin. It's now your spouse. So if something happened to you, things automatically go to the spouse if there's nothing laid out.
Do stepdaddy. Do stepdaddy. You ain't mom. Shut up.
No, but you know
hey,
what?
Paula, we
thank
you for being a good sport. We appreciate you. Yeah, you guys remember that song? Do stepdaddy?
Yes. Yes, I remember the stepdaddy.
You ain't my dad. Shut up.
But
hey, Carl, we appreciate you jumping in here. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. No, I was ready to say before we let her off.
Okay.
After hearing y'all talk about that, that is a good idea. You know, to put everything in the prenup. You know, up front, so that way y'all can, you know, if things go wrong, it's already written out and it's agreed on, so it won't be a nasty situation where, like the caller's dad feel like, you know, it's not fair. Like I'm giving her money and she already makes hella money. You know what I mean? So I'm just giving her extra bread for no reason. So,
I'm giving her extra bread to take care of her and her man.
And her, man.
And because she won't marry him, I got to pay for them to live.
You can't worry about.
Oh,
Tony just said you can't worry about. You can't control what people are doing with their money. Now you say yeah. when it comes to a man, you take care of that shit.
That's where it's going to. I mean, you can't. What she do with the money? I mean, you really can't be mad at that, but. You know, you will think about it like, okay, hey, I'm paying her $100,000 a month or $40,000 a month, and she got a dude that's chilling, just marry him. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, my dad has offered to pay him to marry her, and he was like, "Yeah, nah, I'm good." So
why? Yeah, why would he want to do that? Because he'd be locked in. Like now you locked in. All right, you can't not divorce her now because that you stopped the income. You stopped that
you
income.
Stopped the
so
income.
Now you got to provide something better.
And
yeah.
That is why he would say no.
More substantial.
Because he ain't got to provide nothing. He just got to, I mean, not financially.
Hey, ain't nothing better than free money, man. Hey, ain't nothing better than free money. Free money. But you know what, though? This is the last point of the prenup. You want to do a prenup when you guys get along. I think that's the most important part. When you're in love, you're feeling good, things make sense, you're not thinking about divorce, so, you know, you're putting what you think is fair and you both agree. Oh, baby, let's do 50-50. That's fine. Right?
Yep.
I got my $2. You got your $22. You know what I mean? We split it down the middle. We split $24 down the middle, baby. That's $12 a piece.
See, Gigi, I'm gonna tell you the problem come in when that $24 turn into $24 million. That's when people start to thinking like, you know what? If we getting one more argument, I'm getting $12 million. People start thinking
they want
that's the point of the prenup.
Because it's gonna be what it's gonna be down the middle.
Right. Whatever that prenup said when you all were feeling good is what it's gonna say. So if it says, hey, whoever files for divorce, you know, gets 20% of the money, and whoever, you know, didn't file for divorce gets 80%, then that's what it's going to be. The judges don't even have to do anything. They're just like, okay, this is what y'all laid out.
For sure.
Yeah, it's about percentages. So then you just, all the judge has to do is make your prenup into a court order, and y'all are done. There is nothing to argue, and you cannot come back and ask for more money because you had a prenup. You can't do what my dad and my mom are doing of going back to court every 3 years to try to get it modified.
Now your old ass daddy, and I don't even know their ages, but you telling me that your old ass daddy and mama still in court over.
Listen, my mom is, there is no woman I know that it has petty locked down like my mom. I love my mom, but she's queen petty. So
petty
anytime
LaBelle.
My dad, she is petty LaBelle on steroids. Anytime my father makes more money, like she recognizes if he buys a new house, he buys a new car, he, you know, because, I mean, they were married long enough so they still have mutual family members, friends that still talk to the other one.
Too much,
and so when she finds out that there's some extra money to be had, or in his case, when he got remarried and my stepmother came to the table with her own money, that means that my father is not responsible for paying for everything, which means he has more disposable income. You got more disposable income? I want it.
Oh, no. Now, I don't need, let's cut this segment off. Because you
prenups
are
not a bad
idea. You got to bring the morale back up.
No, the morale is the prenups are not negative. The morale, the good thing is they are not negative. They are wonderful.
Yeah, but I was talking
about
the story, though. We can't talk about the
morale. I just wanted to help tone.
Mama.
I just wanted to paint the realistic picture for Tone,
well, listen,
so he wasn't thinking.
Tone and his wife, they had done deal. They can't put a prenup in place now.
No,
but they're
totally different. They built it together. They built what they're building together, which is different than why you would need a prenup.
Thing.
And that is a very beautiful thing. That's very different. Their scenario is totally different.
My wife way richer than me, so I'm in good hands. I get all the money.
Hey. Sit back.
My man. I'm just joking.
Sit back, man.
I'm just joking.
But nah. Now, Colin, yeah, thank you for yeah, that was so much. That was so much that I think
definitely.
That a lot of people have a scenario like that. Now, obviously, she said her dad is a doctor. Not so, you know, well, that's big money right there. We don't even have to do big money docs, man. We can have situations where guys may have been blue collar worker, may have been, you know, a 9-to-5 type situation, entry level, to by the time things, you know, progress, they may be executives, VPs, CEOs, CFOs. They may
yeah.
have started their own, you know, businesses and joint ventures. And so people don't think about the future. And I'm not saying, you know, that you know, to consider the percentages of divorce, but just more so of having a plan for the future. Because if you guys are gonna have kids, especially if you guys already have kids, and you know you're merging, you're literally merging or blending families together, I think the responsible thing to do is to just have things mapped out. You know, a lot of people want to say,
you can't put a price on that, Gigi, though. Like, honestly,
what do
you
mean?
Think about it, all right, for instance, like her mom, her pops worked, but maybe her mom made sure the house was straight, made sure the kids went to school, you know, made sure everything
mm-hmm.
was straight. And it sounded like her mom worked, too. You know what I mean? So I just think that, from a man's perspective, like, if, you know, if I'm going out and make the bread, but without that woman being at home taking care of what she needs to take care of, things would be extremely hectic, and I wouldn't be able to do what I have to do. You know what I'm saying? With a clear head,
yeah.
because I'll be focusing on home. So you can't put no price on that. So when that lady asks for half, I just don't, I don't see how that's a problem. If she was holding down the crib. You know what I'm saying? Now, if she just was just not doing nothing, spending money or whatever the case may be, then I understand. But 9 times out of 10, if most times, you know, a guy's successful with kids and he has kids, it's the wife at home, you know, taking care of stuff, making sure stuff is in order. So when things go wrong, whether it's her fault, his fault, or whatever the case may be, like, you got to understand, though, like, she get half of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she get half of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
For instance,
right.
like Michael Jordan, what? Like, dog, you play 82 games. You gone all the time. You state to state. That lady raising boys. You know what I'm saying? Like, she raising the kids. You know, so when they come to a head, they don't get to agree, and she say, okay, you worth $1 billion. I want 500. You got to shoot her that, dog.
No.
You got to shoot her.
No way. No way, man.
No way.
But listen, the kids aren't infants forever, though. Kids grow up, become adults, and live their own lives, right? So the thing is, the expenses are not the same. They not the same. They're going to be different. So pushing that, now, first of all, 50%, if people do 50%, I mean, I think that's fair because you never know. But the thing is, so if they get the winnings, right, so when you win, you get the 50%, what happens when businesses fail or you lose your contract or you get injured? Does that partner take the losses as well? Like, do you transfer? Do you split the debt 50%?
Because they're there. Of course, they might not be able to take care of it financially, but they're going to be there for the depression, the anger, the rebuild, you know, the rebuild stage and all that. This is what I feel like.
Maybe.
Right? And I just think that you just have to take your, like, it's going to be hard to do, but you got to take your feelings out of it. Like, I'm not going to have my wife and kids.
That's a good point.
You know, grow up and, you know, look at stuff, right? I mean, be in a situation where they're in the best schools, they, you know, they got the best of everything. And then because me and their mother can't get along, I'm going to kick her to the curb where she going back to the hood, and now they got to visit her back in the hood. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Like,
Tone, that
they're
going to
continue
so
to live
extreme,
the life that they was living, whether they with me or they with their mother, what, no matter if we get along or not.
Right.
And
that makes a lot of sense. No, you're making a lot of sense. The kid, first of all, the kids shouldn't have to suffer. So I completely agree with you. But when you say that you have to take the emotions out of it, divorce emotions, that's hard to separate the two, right? Divorce is literally a death, right? It's a death of a relationship, right? So obviously there's emotions involved. But you also have to understand that there's situations where there's prenups in place with 50% of whatever, and everything's already lined up, but you still have people that says, hey, I want more than that, right? So I want to have this particular lifestyle now or keep it up as if we're still together. So if you guys aren't still together, then why would you have to keep up a lifestyle for someone that you guys aren't together? Now, I'm not talking about the kids, right? I'm not talking about the kids because, again, the kids, they grow up to be adults. And then, obviously, something already needs to be in place for the kids when they're adults. Let's take the kids out of it. Why should that man or why should that woman live the exact same lifestyle if they're no longer together? So somebody's lifestyle has to be adjusted. Why just one person? Why not both of them? Because that dude that lives in that $10 million house with his wife, he ain't going to buy another $10 million house. He's probably going to get an Airbnb until they get his finances back together. But she may want to stay in that house, and he needs to keep up the mortgage for that $10 million house. Now he's paying $25,000 for the living expenses on top of the other stuff, and then he got to go figure it out on his end. So I just think that when you prenup, and like you said, you can't do the numbers. You can't do numbers. You have to do a percentage. And I think 50% is fair because you don't know. But at the same time, you also going to have to factor in the losses as well as the wins. So while people are thinking, okay, I'm going to get 50%, well, there's some losses in that because you can't do 50 and 50 equally when there's a loss. There's losses that have to be factored in. Who's going to absorb the losses?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying sometimes, yeah, 60-40. Sometimes it's 70-30, whatever, because there's other things that have to be factored in. And then you also have to factor in the emotional costs. You know, that's the fancy stuff where the attorneys come in. Well, you know, pain and suffering and counseling. I'm not saying that's not legit. I'm just saying these are things that are factored in that's going to come from legal representation. You know, because sometimes emotions get involved and dudes will say, well, shit, I don't want you to have shit. You wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym, right? That's what he may say. And then she may be like, well, look, I got to take care of these kids. You ain't never did nothing for these kids, so I need to make sure that I got the lifestyle. They have the lifestyle. And on top of that, since you're going to be with that bitch, right, you need to pay me for that too. You got emotional costs involved in this thing, man. I know the callers are like, yo, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. Like I say, I just feel like once it comes to that, like we already divorced and I'm already over it. You see what I'm saying? Because it's done. If we at that point of divorce, my emotions is gone anyway. Because you're not nothing to me no more. Only thing I'm gonna do is do what I said I was going to do in the beginning. That's make sure that you straight forever. And if we got kids, make sure my kids straight. And I'm gone. I did my part. You know what I mean? That's just me, though. And whatever that is, if it's
so you think you can completely avoid that person for the rest of your life and their life after that? Completely avoid them?
Yes, I could. I mean, let the court say I got to talk to them, you know what I mean, or something like that. But if not, take this bread and leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm moving on. You know, like, I'm already, we both already detached. Like, once we decided to get a divorce, it's over from there. So there's really no need to talk to each other outside of how much I'm giving you or how much you've given me. That's it. Especially if we don't got kids. If we don't got kids, then we really don't need to talk to each other. Now, we got kids, that's a little different. Like, we got kids, then it's like, God damn, I got to, you know, we're going to have to come to some type of agreement to where that we ain't cussing each other out every time we seeing each other. You know what I mean? So,
right.
No kids, here, take this bread and go somewhere. Yeah, go get lost. Get lost.
Get
lost.
There you have it, folks. Get lost. Take the money and
get lost. Yeah, that's it. Get lost. You know, I see it both ways, though. But one thing I do agree, like that, like you and the caller said, it does make sense to, if you're gonna do a pre, if you feel like you want a prenup, just write everything out in the beginning. You know, I think that's the best way to. I think that is the best way to do it if that's what you feel. Like I said, me and my wife,
yeah,
we never even talked about a prenup because I just feel like marriage. I know, Gigi, you're gonna have a different view on this, but I just feel like with me, marriage is forever, right? When I say decide to marry somebody, you gotta, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? You gotta find a way to make it work, you know what I mean? And I know in some people cases it's just too much, and they be like, look, this is too much, we can't do it. But with me, it's just like we gonna do it. We gonna find a way to make it work. Cause
yeah,
I'm not. If I get a divorce, it's a wrap. I'm never getting married again in life. Ever. I don't care who comes. Yeah, it's a one-time thing. That's it. I'm never ever
going to
get married.
You can already say
again.
That without a shadow of a doubt, man, that it's a wrap. Just the old concept
it's
of
over.
Marriage is done.
It's done. It's done. It's
well,
over.
I'm glad that you and your wife are you both are your forevers, because I don't want to meet the motherfucking divorce GI Tone. I don't want to meet that nigga.
I
ain't fucking Brazil with him, man. I'm telling you. Yo,
no,
I don't want to meet GEI Gutter Tone. GGT. I don't want to meet that nigga, man. I don't want to meet Gutter Tone, man.
No, man, it's cool. It's cool, man. I feel like, people got to choose what's best for them. So if a prenup is going to make you happy in a relationship and make you comfortable, then do that. If not, then it's cool too, you know. Just trying to find that. I wish Candy was still on the phone, but just trying to find that that common ground that y'all can agree on and move forward. You know what I mean? And it'll work itself out, you know, if you got good intentions and stuff like that. And I could get it. People work hard, especially, like I said, me and my wife is a little different. We built our business together, so I cannot say she can't get 50% because she's the co-owner. So she getting 50% whether we get divorced or not. So it don't even matter.
Right.
That's why I said my thing is a little different. But I can understand somebody working 30 years, 20 years to build their business, and then they meet somebody for 2 years, and then they be like, all right, give me your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, all right,
right.
I want all that. I can understand that. You know, I joke, but I definitely can understand why somebody could be like, hell no. Like, no. You know, you can get a little percentage for the 2 years you was here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's just that's why you got to date. You got to be sure. You know, you got to check people's history. You got to get nosy with people, man. People be afraid to get nosy.
Due diligence, man. Do your research.
Yeah, man. If you're gonna talk to somebody and take steps to get to that point of marriage, man, you gotta get nosy. You gotta talk to uncles. You gotta talk to cousins. You know, when you go to them family functions, you gotta listen. So you know what type of person you're dealing with.
That's it.
For real, man. Because you be dealing with a whole psycho and don't even know it. But
hey, and everybody else does. You're the only one that don't know that you're dealing with a psychopath.
That's it. So, but, you know,
hey, man,
on
this
that
was
note,
a bizarre show, man.
Bizarre. It definitely took a turn. It definitely did.
Hey, I want to thank everybody, man, for hanging out with us, man. It's our one-year anniversary. Myself, Gigi After Dark, G.I. Tone, GEI Radio, Necessary Convo, every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we had the pleasure of just celebrating, man. It was more of a freestyle Friday. We did have some callers on, so we apologize. We got to shut the show down. We're way past the time. But I appreciate everybody jumping in and that logs in, that shoots the messages and DMs and stuff like that, even throughout the broadcast. I see you guys. I appreciate you guys. I know sometimes, man, I go on a tandem, and I'm the type of guy, I got to get my shit all the way off. Don't cut me off because I'm not going to remember my shit. So you, Tone already knows, hey, just let Gigi get it out. He's going to stop at some point, and I'll be able to regain control of things. So you just gotta let that work, man. And that's what we've learned in 1 year working together, because we didn't have any experience working together on this type of platform prior to. And it's cool. Tone, I was thinking, man, since, you know, we kind of reminiscing a little bit, I remember the fashion show, man, that you let me partake in, man. You remember the fashion show? That was so cool, man. The fashion show years and years ago, man. And that's when I realized that the team was huge. The team was huge, and everybody played an intricate part, you know. So I thought that was cool. So I got a chance to see some of the GEI models, man, and a lot of them was fine as nothing, you know, but I, at that time, you know, I wasn't really going that route with being out there like that. Matter of fact, you know, but I was like, yo, oh, man, this is a lot going on here. Let me just come and do what I'm here to do and take my brown ass up out of here, because it's a lot of fun. And your team knows how to celebrate. Some people know how to party. But you guys know how to celebrate. So I've always respected that. And there's a big difference between having a party and having a celebration. You know, when you have a celebration, yeah, it's a lot of love and camaraderie, and you showing love to each other. And everybody is there on a common purpose, for a common purpose. When you partying, it's just like, look, I'm coming to your shit and having a good time. What you got? What you got so I can come and partake of what the fuck you got going on? You guys have had parties, right? And you guys have had celebrations.
Definitely.
And so, shit, that's where I learned the difference. And when it was all said and done, what I did know and found out is I cannot hang with these folks. They get to sipping. They get to partying, having a good time. Next thing you know, man, it's 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm no good after 11:30, but I will hang until I possibly can, until I tell Tone, look, bro, man, I don't drink, but I'm drunk, if that makes sense. So I need to go. I'm sleep.
You know what's
sleep
crazy?
Drunk.
You know what's crazy? Like, when we do our GEI weekends, we tell people that come from out of town, like, listen, nobody parties like us. And everybody always be like, oh, no, we party. Man, they be almost dead by the time it's time to go home. I'm like,
and you guys don't have a problem. You guys don't have a problem taking pictures of motherfuckers either.
drunk, doubles over, mouth open. That's why I was like, man, I'm glad I don't drink because I'd be all over they platform looking crazy.
Yeah, man, it's cool though, man. It's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes people don't step back and, you know, just be great, you know, be grateful for what you was able to do. Like, we, you know, sometimes people compare themselves with other people, but you got to look at what you did. And I'm super proud of what we was been able to accomplish in these 11 years. None of us went to school for what we do. None of the stuff I do, I went to school for. Like, nothing. I just learned it as I, you know, trial and error. So to be able to be up for 11 years and running and still growing, and it's awesome. It's an accomplishment. So I'm definitely happy. I got something to pass on to my kids whenever I have some, whenever my wife give me my triplets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got something to pass on. Yeah. He said, oh, man. You know, I got something to pass on to my nieces and nephews and my younger brothers and stuff, and to keep our family name going. So, and that's all it's about. No matter how big or how small, just have something to pass on. You know, because, like, I'm not sure about you, Gigi, but, you know, growing up, once I got 18, I didn't receive a business or money or, you know, even a place or a car or anything. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that my pops, you know, my mom wasn't, you know, hard workers. They just didn't have the know-how. You know, they just didn't have the know-how back then to do that. So we definitely changing the culture and changing the structure of our family to be able to do that for, you know, our kids and our nieces and nephews. So that's what I'm proud of, man.
All facts, man.
Definitely.
All facts. All right, well, shoot, man. Hey, keep it going, man. Let folks know how they can stay connected with everything that you got going on, including the GI Network, and let's keep it rolling.
Definitely, definitely. So, we you know, all the listeners, we appreciate you. 1 year. Like Gigi said, I had a bunch of questions I was supposed to ask, but, you know, that's the beauty of this platform. I mean, it's definitely a convo, you know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, it's what y'all want to talk about. So if y'all want to, you know, stay in tune with us, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, GEI Tone. You can follow the radio show, GEI Radio, on all social media platforms. On Instagram, you can follow the this show, Necessary Convo. Please, 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 if you have Roku TV, please add our channel, GEI Network, or you can go to our website, GEINetwork.net, and sign up and check out some of the trailers and different things that we got going on. We got giveaways and stuff on there. So, you know, sign up, please. We definitely will appreciate it. Like Gigi said, it's Black-owned. And that's it, man. I got a lot more to say, but that's pretty much it, though, right now. Gigi, where can they find you at?
Yeah, you guys can find me on all social media platforms, GG After Dark, website, ggafterdark.com. And as you know, of course, I have a personal brand, and that brand is called I Am Rob Malloy. It's the Rob Malloy brand. So you can catch that on all social media platforms. I Am Rob Malloy. And you can definitely find me there. And if you're in the Atlanta area, every first Friday, Brims and Stilettos. You can check out all the social media platforms to get more information. But definitely something special that we just launched. And got some other big surprises. Just stay tuned. And
and stay connected. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Make sure y'all go out to that. I had the opportunity to go to the first one. You doing it at the same location, Gigi?
Yeah. Right now it's the same location. They blessed to have me still, right? You know, I'm a free agent. I'm always about my free agency. You know, I might have to take my talent somewhere else. But, yeah, right now they have me there. So you guys check out all my social media platforms to get the link. And it's a free event. VIP is available. VIP seating, reserve seating is available for a very small nominal fee. But you'll be sitting up front, and you'll be very comfortable. But, yeah, man, we had a great time. I appreciate, Tone and the fam that came through. And, man, it was funny. It was funny, and it was fun. And so we're building on that momentum. We got some prizes. Surprises coming up May 7th, a couple of special guests. I got some confirmation on some celebrity guests, man. So it's already taking off. So I look forward to, being able to help people navigate through this pandemic and challenges all throughout the world. And before we go, I definitely want to rest in power. Shot G, man, from Digital Underground, man. Damn.
Yeah,
passed away this week, and I don't know if we announced it before, but we also lost Black Rob. Black Rob. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot to be thankful. A lot to be thankful for, so we have to count our blessings before they're counted on our behalf. So that being said, man, much success this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe, prosperous, and all that good stuff.
That's what's up. Peace.
So we signing out. Peace.